I would like to welcome you here tonight. This evening I'd like to speak to you about the narrow gate. This topic was assigned to me as we've been going through this fall the various aspects of the doors found in Scripture. Tonight, this is a gate as opposed to a door, which is a little bit different. But the gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see that in some of the things that he has to say. And this gate is for Christians. This teaching is quite often used in relation to a gospel message, which I will try to share with you as well. So there are many applications about this narrow gate. It is also referred to as the narrow way in the scripture that we'll read. So you know it's a narrow gate and a narrow way. And these are not popular topics. This is not a topic that a lot of people like to hear about, because narrowness has the idea of exclusive applications. And yet, it's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who gave this teaching in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, it's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you take your Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 7, we're jumping in near the end of the Sermon on the Mount in this particular study that we've been assigned. And we're going to be given two verses that we've been assigned to study. The last time I spoke, they gave me 34 verses, and I went overtime. So I guess that's why they gave me this one for two verses, in the hope that I would get done before 8 o'clock. Anyway, I'm never limited to two verses. I have other things I'd like to share with you as well. But remember, this was Jesus' teaching, not my teaching. This was his comments to a group of people who were listening to him on the Sermon on the Mount, which is quite a long thing. It's chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 in Matthew, the words of Jesus. So in chapter 7, I'd like you to go to verse 13, and we will read there. Now, before we actually read, Nathan Lambert showed you some pictures of some of the gates in Jerusalem. And as I was going through looking at Google and various photographs, I found this rather interesting thing, and I'm just going to share this with you separate from the teaching, but it was this photograph here, and it says, "Enter through the narrow gate," and that's the reference that we've been given tonight. If you look carefully at this picture, you will see that the people of high status were allowed to go through the Damascus Gate in the city of Jerusalem. The people of high status. You will also notice an arrow at the bottom, and it says, "Jesus went through here with his cross." Jesus went through the narrow gate. In fact, the lower gate, if you look at it carefully. And beyond that gate, if you walk through that gate, you come to the garden tomb where the Lord was buried. And there's a long walk from this gate to the place we believe the Lord was put and crucified in Golgotha, the place of the skull. But it was through that lower gate that he had to drag his cross. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing, that he wasn't even allowed to go through the upper gate because that was for the special people. So we've been assigned the topic, the narrow gate. I like this particular picture that we had. that we have here now. This picture of all the gates is more in keeping with my thought of a gate. Some of them had narrow walls, high walls, and a very small opening, and you could see where there would probably be a narrow gate to get out of it. But this is a gate in a long, wide, open space. And the gate is rather interesting, I believe, because it has, you can see through it. And you can actually see the path. And when you come to that gate, you have to make some choices. And so tonight, I'm going to look at some of those people that would come to that gate to make a choice. The gate being the Lord Jesus Christ, they make a choice for him or not for him. And they open the gate, they accept him into their lives, and then they start to follow the narrow path. Okay? So let's read. I'm going to read from verses 13 through 23. Jesus is speaking here, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." And here's the part that this next three verses amazes me. It is almost something that scares me. It is something that makes me really wonder about myself and about those around me. Listen to what he says. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. "But he who does the will of the Father, of my Father in heaven," that's how you get to it. You follow the teachings and the will of the Father in heaven. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, we have not prophesied. We have not prophesied in your name. Have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This, as you can see, is a very serious topic that we're talking about tonight. That gate where Jesus comments about his position in the world, he said, "I am the door. If anyone enters me, he will be saved and will go in and out in fine pastures." Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the door. And we are to enter him. And if we do, we go in and out and find pastures. Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And as we heard last week, I believe, Jesus is the only way. And this is a rather difficult thing in the society in which we live, because there are many religions and they all are beginning to try to come together with the idea that as long as you follow one of the ways, you're going to end up in heaven. That isn't what the Lord Jesus taught. And that's why we sound like a narrow group when we say, when we follow his teaching and believe that he said, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'd like to comment on this a little bit more later. So when I looked at this gate and coming to this gate, I thought there are really three kinds of people that come to the gate. Okay, there's those people that are sort of symbolized by the brain. They're the thinkers. And then there's those people who are the ones with the heart, and they have found the blood of Jesus as their Savior. And then I have the picture of the donkey, and I'm sorry about the donkeys, because I don't, you know, it puts a bad thing on donkeys when you do this. But the donkeys are the people who don't care. Okay? There are people that come to the gate, and they really don't care. Now, I'm sure if you were to go around Sault Ste. Marie tonight, and maybe some of the people you know, they don't care. They don't even want to hear the message. They don't reject the message, so they reject it, but they reject it by just, don't bother me with that. So let's take a look at these three and some of the things that are to be said about them. First one will be, of course, these people who don't care. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Basically, we all start off coming to the gate as sinners, all of us. And we, for some, have said there is no God. Well, we have some people who say, well, there's the God, and I've been taught this, and so there must be a God. Well, but there are some who are really hardened to the concept that there is no God. They are their own God. The Bible says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Unfortunately, the majority of the people coming to the gate will not accept the Lord. But that is their choice. You see, there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends as the way of death. They think that they have the answers, but the scripture in the Proverbs teaches us that way ends in death. Very serious. This is a very serious topic because we rub shoulders with people every day who are going down that road. I think of Lazarus, the man who was at the pool, and he was full of sores, and the dogs licked his sores. And the rich man was also there, and he had everything going for him. But the rich man died and ended up in hell. And what does he say? He says, would you please send Lazarus? He says to Abraham. Abraham's afar off, and he can actually see him. He said, would you just come over here? Would you send Lazarus over to touch his finger in the water and let him touch my tongue? I'm in such misery in this place. The answer is no. There's a gulf fixed between Abraham and Lazarus and where the rich man was. The rich man, it says, was in torment, in a place where the worm dieth not. Not a very happy situation. And yet the rich man had everything going for him in his life. He was probably at the gate and not interested. Well, I have everything I need. But look at that poor guy over there. He's got sores and the dogs are licking his sores. Okay. Then there's another group of people, the third group, the brainers. And I feel very disappointed for these people. Because it says, as we read, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Only those who follow the will of God will enter heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have not, I'm sorry when I go to say this because I have it in another version that I memorized. Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done wonders in your name? There are going to be some people who say to the Lord, look what we did for you. I knew you. I've done wonderful things in your name. There's a group of people in the church, in the world, who think they have done wonders for the Lord and that somehow he owes it to them. But what does he say to them? And then I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is serious, isn't it? I think that is terrible. To think that there'd be a group of people who think they're on the right path, that they've done wonders in the Lord's name. In fact, they have used the Lord's name to even do miracles. And he says to them, depart from me. I never knew you. One would think at this point, and it has been argued, that the Christian faith is very narrow and that it's designed just for the few. But what does this verse say? For God so loved the world. The world. The Lord died for the world. He was sent by the Father to the world. Everyone has the opportunity of coming before Almighty God and asking for forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross for everyone. Oh, unfortunately, we know that not everyone will receive it. And that's the sad part. And that's where it sounds exclusive. But on their own, they made their own choice. We've been praying for people in this chapel for years, that their eyes might be opened, because it also says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded their eyes, and they can't see. And how many people do you and I know whose eyes have been blinded to the way of the world, and they refuse to accept God's forgiveness? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, that's everybody, put your name in there, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is not an exclusive club. Everyone has the opportunity to come to him. And so we also must recognize that we should share with everyone this message of the gospel, that we might get some to think and to come to him and ask for his forgiveness. Well, then we come to another group. And this is really the group of people that this scripture was directed toward. The Lord Jesus was directing his message here to this group. Many of us are in this group tonight. We are the ones who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Our hearts are covered with His blood. We have His righteousness. And we have gone through the gate and we accepted His way. And we know Him. And we love Him. And now we start down the path with the gate behind us. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, I want you to think about that verse, because, you know, sometimes we just read these things and we really don't think about it. Well, I want you to think about it. It says, difficult is the way. Well, you've accepted the Lord as your Savior and you're on your way. And you've gone through the gate and everything is just great. I think when I first got saved, I was so relieved that I had forgiveness of sins. Do you ever have that feeling? It's wonderful. But then life comes in and with all its complications and makes that pretty tough. It's pretty rough, eh? And you've got all sorts of opportunities. But the way is difficult. And the Lord said it was difficult. And we sometimes are taught that it's just all going to be wonderful and wonderful, holy, oh, well, we're just going to have a great time because we've accepted the Lord as our Savior. And it's true. We have that peace of mind. However, life comes in and makes it difficult to follow the way. That leads to life. It's difficult. And I think that we've got to tell the people in our audiences all the time that the Christian life is difficult, not impossible, but it is difficult. And we have to come to it with an attitude. Because we have an option. We have an option to decide otherwise. Narrow is the gate, verse 14, and difficult the way which leads, and there are few who find it. And you know, why would I want to find it? Because I don't want to do it my way. Now, for you young people over here, you've heard this song. And you know Frank Sinatra. I'm going to tell you a little story about Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra, in my parents' age, was the Elvis Presley of the music world. And he became very famous, and he managed to keep his way of life. Right, he stayed in the music world for years. Have you actually heard him sing this song, My Way? You've heard him sing the song? I did it my way. I don't want to sing it to you. I used to think it was a great song, because I just like songs, eh? And I never really paid much attention to the words. But you know, the Christian, when they go through the gate and they've been saved, have the opportunity to say exactly what he said. I did it my way. From that point on, I've been saved and everything's fine, going to heaven, and I can live like I want. Jesus says it's a difficult way, and few there are that find it. Many of us in our Christian faith are struggling because we're still trying to do it my way. And I think it's awful to think about it, but listen to what the song said. Usually we quote from the Bible, but I got this song and I'm sitting there and I said, what does it actually say? So I printed out the words here. If you want to come and see, you can see the words later. Frank Sinatra sings, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. His life is over. By the way, this was written by Paul Anka. Do you know Paul Anka? Canadian. Lives in Ottawa. Worth millions. Made a lot of money. Sang the song himself, actually. But he wrote this for Frank Sinatra because he knew Frank Sinatra, and he knew Frank would be able to sing this song. The end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Later on in the psalm, he says, for what is man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not, nothing. If he hasn't got himself at the end of his life, he's got nothing. To say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. Whoa! What's he saying? I'm one that I don't even kneel. Why would you kneel? We kneel at the cross, don't we? We kneel to the Lord. But his song says, not the words of one who kneels. The record shows that I took the blows, and I did it my way. Popular song? Yep. Actually, Frank Sinatra, if you'll go on and read about it, his daughter, Nancy Sinatra, said that he wished he could get rid of it. Because it became his signature song, and he actually didn't like it. He said he couldn't get rid of it because he'd begun to realize what it was. He had done life my way. And as Christians, you know, we also have the opportunity to do it my way, because when you go out of the gate, there is still a broad way. And there are going to be lots of Christians at the end that are going to be awfully sorry because they did it their way from that point on in their life. And they missed the abundant life that Christ has for those who did it his way. There's a fork in the road. The thief does not come in except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's the thief? Satan. He wants to steal your Christian life. He's out there to kill you. I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. You can only receive the abundant life if you follow him in that narrow way and fix your eyes on him and follow him. My grandfather's favorite verse, old grandfather George Alton, Lord bless his soul, he would say this verse over and over again, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now my time is gone, and I'd love to share you his story, because his mother died at 15, and before she died, she said to him, George, come into the room by yourself. I want to talk to you. There were five boys down in Sylvan Valley, north of Echo Bay, and she said to him, there are three things I want you to do. Number one, I don't want you to drink alcohol. Number two, I don't want you to smoke cigarettes. And number three, I want you to read your Bible. And so he did. He followed that all his life. And he read the Word of God. And all by himself in a lumber yard in Seney out in Michigan. Maybe you've heard of the Seney Stretch on your way to Marquette, Michigan. On the Seney Stretch, he was in a lumber camp. And reading his Bible, he said to himself by reading and not listening to any preacher or anything else, he said, it's by faith I have been forgiven. And also, by reading God's word, I have a lamp to my feet. That's the narrow path. That's the narrow path, is the word of God. And how many of us, shame on us if we are not into that word every day. If we don't allow even one verse to touch us, should touch us every day and give us direction. And I can assure you that if you're not in the Word, you don't have a lamp for your feet and you don't have a light for your path. There's the path. Notice how narrow it is, symbolized in this picture. It's a narrow path, and you've got to keep your eyes on the sun. Reading His Word and following His commands, and there are many, and He will bless you and give you the abundant life. Let's pray. Holy Father, we come to You tonight having considered Your words, Your teachings, the message that You sent to us, that we would go through that narrow gate and follow that narrow path and be blessed. Lord, help every one of us in this place tonight to follow Your teachings, to read Your word, and to live our lives abundantly. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.